This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On his first full day in office, President Trump is expected to announce a $500 billion artificial intelligence infrastructure project.
It's a joint venture from three companies, OpenAI, SoftBank, and Oracle, and will collectively be called Stargate. It will open with a data center project in Texas and is expected to expand from there. $100 billion is expected to go out immediately. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Attorneys general from more than a dozen states have filed a lawsuit against President Trump's executive order seeking to limit birthright citizenship, claiming it is unconstitutional. Day three of the Gaza ceasefire holding. More aid trucks are arriving in Gaza, and Hamas is on schedule to release four more Israeli hostages this Saturday. Today, Israel's top general resigned, citing his failure to protect Israel from Hamas's October 7th attack. A major winter storm crippling parts of the South, Midwest, and East Coast. Snow and ice and dangerous temperatures dipping into the teens. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A Wisconsin man is among the people pardoned by an executive order signed by President Donald Trump yesterday. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
A Pulaski man will benefit from an executive order signed by President Donald Trump during his first few hours in office yesterday.
So this is January 6th, and these are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon. Full pardon.
One of those pardoned is Riley Casper of Pulaski, who was sentenced to 37 months in prison for assaulting police officers at the Capitol.
Several of those pardoned have already been released from custody. Police have arrested a suspect in Sunday's shooting on La Crosse's north side. The LCPD said that a 28-year-old man was taken into custody during a traffic stop Sunday evening. The shooting victim, 42-year-old Justin Betts, died from his wounds at a hospital in La Crosse. The two men had an argument before the shooting. The 28-year-old suspect is being held on a $1 million cash bond, according to online court records. He wasn't charged on Monday due to the holiday, but is being held on a charge of first-degree intentional homicide. The emergency day center in La Crosse will have extended hours today due to the extremely cold temperatures we're having. It's located at La Crosse's Public Library's main branch and runs until 7 p.m. It's open to anybody who's looking to get out of the cold weather and will be staffed by people from both the city and county. Anyone needing to use the day shelter will have to follow a set of rules and check in and out, and access to the main library is only available during open library hours. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers will give the annual State of the State address tomorrow. Tune in to WLCX for special coverage of the speech, the Republican legislative response, and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Join Civic Media's Todd Alba, political editor Dan Schaefer, members of the Civic Media News Team, and Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow for special live coverage, which begins just before 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Network and on the free Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LaCrosseEagle.com.
The Bucks head to the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are headed to New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. Milwaukee's won 7 of the last 8 games. After a 4-game home stretch, they now head out with 5 of the next 6 games on the road. In college hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers play UCLA tonight in Los Angeles. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation after beating USC over the weekend. Marquette has dropped in the AP Top 25 from 7th to 10th. Tonight they face Seton Hall. Head coach Shaka Smart on how to help Cameron Jones get going.
I need to spend some time with him and rub his temples because, you know, listen, this Cam Jones, man, this guy's out of this world. But he's also a human being. He's, you know, feeling a lot of pressure, I would imagine. He hasn't verbalized that, and he's been great in practice, and he's been an A-plus teammate. But, man, there's just a lot expected of him on his shoulders. And I think right now when he rises up from outside, he's feeling the weight of some of that.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports On. Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Dangerously cold, with wind chills 30 to 20 below, warming up this afternoon to feeling 20 to 15 below. As temperatures climb throughout the evening and overnight, we will climb above zero by early tomorrow morning. And light snow moves in late, with less than an inch expected. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by author of The Meet the Parents Story, Laura Enright, and Meet the Parents creator, Greg Liana. Then herbalist Mason Hutchinson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. My name's Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer lady, economist, and commentator right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a lot of ground to cover today, some breaking news that has been going on, but let us begin with an homage to Cecile Richards, the former head of Planned Parenthood and a women's rights activist. She served as the president of Planned Parenthood, let's see here, from, I believe, 2006 to 2018. She was diagnosed with glioblastoma in 2023, which she revealed to the Cut, and she passed away last night, surrounded by her family and her ever-loyal dog, Ollie. In a tribute to her today, her family told those who would like to celebrate Miss Richards' memory to put on some New Orleans jazz and gather with friends and family over a good meal. I think that is really solid advice for all of us in these troubling times. There's a quotation of Cecile Richards, which I shared on my LinkedIn, which you can find. It's under Margaret Dawn because that's my business. That's my full name for business purposes on LinkedIn. I've shared this quote, but this is what Miss Richards had to say to each and every one of you and me and all of us together. It's not hard to imagine future generations one day asking, when there was so much at stake for our country, what did you do? The only acceptable answer is everything we could. So let us take heart today. Together, we're going to cover the tough news. And we're going to have some conversations about it. But remember, again, to take care of yourself, as her family asked, with some tunes and some fellowship with those you love. And to remember, we can do that and take care of ourselves and each other and yet do everything that we could when there is so much at stake for our country. Again, my personal thanks to Miss Cecile Richards for everything she's done for women, for women's rights, and for this country. And a little history reminder, Cecile Richards is the daughter of former Texas Governor Ann Richards. Yes, folks, there was a time when there was a Democratic female governor of the state of Texas. All things are possible. History moves in arcs and waves. But we've got to remember there's always the long game. And I hope that here on this program, while we will talk about the tough stuff that's happening in the news, my hope, my goal is to always give you a bit of hope and also, hey, what can we do in the middle of all of this? The other bit of breaking news and an example of what can we do, coming largely from government lawyers, which I used to be one, today, various states and civil rights groups have filed a lawsuit to challenge the constitutionality of Donald Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship. There's a variety of legal actions. The biggest one includes 18 states, New Jersey, New York, California, that was filed in Massachusetts, saying that the order violates the constitutional rights of thousands of children and imposes undue costs on local jurisdictions that would lose federal funding tied to Medicaid and children's health insurance. The District of Columbia and the City of San Francisco also joined that filing. There's a separate lawsuit brought by a different group of states, including Arizona and Washington. That was filed again a little bit before we came on the air. Then finally, the ACLU and the Lawyers for Civil Rights filed lawsuits in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, respectively, on behalf of parents whose children would not be eligible for citizenship under Trump's order. Let us not forget where birthright citizenship came from. And after this brief reminder, I'm going to move into the Alien Enemies Act, which I promised you yesterday I would cover today to explain to you what it is, what it means, what Trump's invocation of it yesterday might mean for you and yours and your family's health and wellness. We'll get to all of that. But let's first remind ourselves where birthright citizenship came from. It is enshrined in the 14th Amendment of our Constitution, and it came about after the Civil War, after this war that was fought to stop the enslavement of human beings in this country. And it was necessary to confer the benefits of full citizenship on human beings that our country had enslaved, abused, and exploited since our country's founding to enrich ourselves and our country. That's where birthright citizenship came from. Now, as a point of legal interpretation, let me be very clear. There has never been any question that a president can overrule or wipe away rights granted by the Constitution with an executive order. Now, there's a small area of gray on that, and I'm going to talk about that with respect to the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. So it was fitting to begin today not only with a memorializing of Cecile Richards, but also with the acknowledgement of these lawsuits which are being filed. There was no question that this was going to happen. Most legal scholars, including even the most conservative legal scholars, Federalist Society type folks, believe that this is an unconstitutional executive order. You can't just wipe away constitutionally granted rights in an executive order. So with all of that, I want to jump right into the Alien Enemies Act. And just in case you're wondering, of course, I'm going to get to the January 6th pardons. That is on the docket for today on the Maggie Dawn Show. I want to talk to all of you about it. And what are your thoughts about these? You know, this was a promise made and kept by Donald Trump. We're going to get into all of that. But I wanted to start with just a legal overview of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, a reminder of when it's been used in this country before and why it is so controversial. And this history is very important because oftentimes it is in moments when we are very afraid for very real reasons, very legitimate reasons. But when we are afraid in this country, when our sovereignty has been challenged, or for example, in the wake of 9/11, when we are afraid, that is when our democracy is tested, when our commitment to human rights and civil rights becomes tested. Because the two policy goals which I think all of us, regardless of party, share, is that we both believe our government should keep us safe from harm, but we also believe in individual rights and liberties. And it is in moments where our safety is threatened, where we feel afraid, that our human instinct is to trade away the protections of civil rights, the protections that our Constitution has enshrined, either to trade them away in entirety or to let them be eroded. Death by a thousand cuts, if you will. Recall, if you will, following 9/11, the Patriot Act was voted for nearly unanimously in the U.S. Senate. 99 senators voted for the Patriot Act, despite the fact that it authorizes secret warrants, tapping of American citizens, and all sorts of things that I think in the days before 9/11, most Americans, regardless of party, would have been quite disturbed by. The one vote against the Patriot Act was cast by none other than Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold. So with that as the big context, right, that when we are afraid, our inclination or the two policy goals that come into conflict and that we have to, with reason, with intentionality, with deliberation, the two policy ends that come into conflict that we have to resolve is that we want our government to ensure our safety and security. And we also are a nation that believes in individual rights and civil liberties. These are shared principles and goals and values that we all want. And it's just from an even bigger perspective, legitimate and the best public policy debates happen when we can acknowledge the two or three values or objectives that we share that may be in conflict in any given debate, because it reminds us that we do have these shared values and objectives. So with all of that as extended prequel, as you all know that I am inclined to give, we now have the setup to talk about the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. I am the host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, where I try to bring you both legal analysis, economic analysis, and my personal take on the events of the day. I do this every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. And as best I can, given some of the material we've got to get through, I always want this to not just be about the very real news of the day, of which there is much, but also a great conversation with you and I and every single one of you listening. So join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you've got questions about the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 or about what, quote, mass deportations might look like, about the fact that, hey, people who had migrated here, who were trying to engage the legal process to ensure that their legal status here is confirmed, that they are going and abiding by our laws, that they had all of their appointments canceled because Donald Trump got rid of the app that lets people actually schedule those appointments. So when we come back, we're going to start with digging in on the Alien Enemies Act, why Donald Trump's invocation of it yesterday was so disturbing to me, and I believe lots of people who believe that we can do two things at one time in this country. We can secure our borders, make Americans as safe as we all deserve to be, and yet at the same time, respect our very fundamental values of civil rights and individual rights and the very basic concept of each individual human being deserving of dignity and respect. These are my American values. I hope you share in them. And this great...
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on presidential orders, including executive orders, and how they're used. Executive orders can also be used to revoke previous orders, and among President Donald Trump's day one orders was removing a policy of the federal government to promote access to voting. Trump's executive order, entitled Initial Rescissions of Harmful Executive Orders and Actions, terminated 78 of President Joe Biden's orders, including Order 14019, setting a policy for the federal government to promote access to voting. Biden's order, as noted on the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, quote, directed all federal agencies to consider ways to expand citizens' opportunities to register to vote and to obtain information about and participate in the electoral process. This included ensuring equal access for voters with disabilities and non-English-speaking Americans. It ensured voting opportunities for active duty, military, and overseas citizens and established a federal ballot tracking system to assist those voters. It created a federal working group to protect voting access for Native American voters, and it allowed time off for federal employees to vote and serve as poll workers. Although not included in the day one orders, Trump has also pledged to limit voting to Election Day only. We have more on Trump's day one executive orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Oh, you like me now? You may not have to like everything I say, but I hope you sure like me. I try to be every day. Your friendly lawyer lady and economist right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's jump in. I'm talking about the Alien Enemies Act for the first portion of the show today. I'm going to try to get to all of the texters. Lots of stuff coming in. The next topic is going to be the January 6th pardons, so be patient with me, but I want to start here for an important reason. It connects up with the January 6th pardons, so bear with me, y'all. You know, there's always a through line when I'm talking about all this stuff on this show, because all of this stuff connects up. It really does. The January 6th pardons absolutely have something to do with Trump's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act, which absolutely has something to do with him saying that he can just, you know, sign his name to a piece of paper and there goes a constitutional right, i.e. birthright citizenship. So the Alien Enemies Act is a wartime authority that allows the President of the United States through his executive branch agencies to detain or deport the natives, this word is important, more on that in a moment, the natives and citizens of an enemy nation. So what does that mean in practice? Well, it allows federal law enforcement, as directed by the president, to target immigrants, regardless of their citizenship status, in many cases, without a hearing, based only on their country of birth or their citizenship status. So even some, the reason that the word natives is important is because even someone who has renounced their citizenship with an enemy nation, they can still be targeted simply based on the fact that they were born or were formerly a citizen of a, quote, enemy nation. Now, it was enacted way back when to prevent foreign espionage and sabotage in wartime. But it has been wielded against immigrants who have done nothing wrong, who have committed no crime, nor evinced any disloyalty to America, and who are lawfully present, excuse me, in the United States. So again, someone who is lawfully present in the United States, not a quote illegal, which is a terrible term. But someone who is lawfully here in the United States can effectively be rounded up and detained without hearing for as long as the federal government wants.
That's crazy.
Right. Okay. So when has this been invoked? It's been invoked three times in our nation's history. First, during the War of 1812, secondly, during World War I, and thirdly, during World War II. And in World Wars I and II, it was the animating law behind the detentions and expulsions and restrictions that were put in place involving, I wonder, hey, excuse me, is anybody here from Wisconsin German? If you're listening, anybody German, of German ancestry? Yeah, it was used to target people of German, Austro-Hungarian, Japanese, and Italian heritage. How many of you listening right now had German grandparents or great-grandparents? And how many of them stopped speaking German? How many children of immigrants, citizens of this country under the 14th Amendment, know that their parents had stopped speaking their native language because they were afraid of being targeted? This is what the Alien Enemies Act has enabled in our country's history. It is most well known for its use during World War II to create Japanese internment camps right here in the United States. Excuse me, guys. Little frog in my throat. It happens sometimes. I just talk too much and frog in my throat. But if you're a young person, perhaps, and you've never heard of American Japanese internment camps, please take a minute and Google. By the way, of course, that shameful part of U.S. history, the U.S. justice system has apologized for it formally. The U.S. Congress has apologized for it formally, as have U.S. presidents. But it would not have been possible but for the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. So what are the conditions under which a president may invoke the Alien Enemies Act? There's two times. One, there has to be a declared war. Only Congress may declare war. Last time I checked, Congress has not declared war on Mexico, Venezuela, Guatemala, etc. The second one is when a foreign government threatens or otherwise undertakes a, quote, invasion or, quote, predatory incursion against U.S. territory. In that circumstance, the president doesn't need Congress. Okay, so that would be the prong under which Donald Trump is proposing to move forward. Because the president has the inherent authority to repel these kinds of sudden incursions or attacks on our territory. Okay. So the question then becomes, well, what does invasion and, quote, predatory incursion actually mean? Does it mean literally, or does it mean what Donald Trump and others say when they're referring to migrants? The historical context of the Alien Enemies Act and even its obnoxious use in World War II all indicate that these terms are meant to be taken literally, that these are war power related terms. So we're going to pick right back up here in just a moment. We're going to take a little breath, and I'm going to tell you what this means today, how its application today could lead to an erosion of your rights and your family's rights, even if you are a citizen. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer lady and economist and political commentator. You can find right here on the Civic Media Radio Network every Monday through Friday. We'll be back with more after your farm update. Keep it locked.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin farmers are working overtime with this weather, just trying to take care of their livestock. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a frigid Tuesday. Eric Rooker is watching. He's a veterinarian with Dairy Doctors, working with dairy operations in East Central Wisconsin. He says with the temperatures that we're experiencing right now, farmers need to pay attention to those baby calves specifically.
The rule I have for my clients is if you can see the legs of your calf, you don't have them bedded deeply enough. Letting them sit there and nest down just like they would do out in a pasture in their natural setting before we kind of confine them is incredibly important. It saves so many calories. It lets them kind of use that bedding to insulate. And then going hand in hand with that, making sure that bedding is clean and dry is also critical. If we think about it, that calf, when it nests down, isn't keeping its head above that bedding. It is laying down into it. It is really tucking itself in to maintain and protect its inner core heat.
Eric Rooker, a veterinarian with Dairy Doctors, he also said we need to pay attention to the temperature of the feed we're offering those calves. He said ideally feed temperatures are between 101 and 105 degrees, but in the winter that makes it very difficult. He said remember, if you're offering cold buckets or cold bottles to that calf, it'll burn up an awful lot of energy just reheating that milk internally. You don't want that.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
And congratulations to Eric and Lindsay Bannock from Helenville, selected as the 2025 Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmers over the weekend in Marshfield at the 71st annual event. The Bannocks own and operate their own 80 acres, and then Lindsay also is the manager of Jelly's Market, where they're working to plant and harvest 40 acres of fresh produce, hire and train employees, and supervise those seasonal workers. More details on the event at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Dangerously cold, with wind chills 30 to 20 below, warming up this afternoon to feeling 20 to 15 below. As temperatures climb throughout the evening and overnight, we will climb above zero by early tomorrow morning. And light snow moves in late, with less than an inch expected. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 1 degree.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is with us, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
What a day indeed. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel almost like I'm doing something wrong to talk over Miss Erica Badu. Wow. So we are in the middle of my discussion of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And I just want to take a moment. And I'm going to first thank my producer, Cardi, or ask me a couple of questions in the chat while we were on break to say this. If you immigrated here and have been naturalized, if you are a citizen, Donald Trump cannot take that away from you. Okay. So if your parents were immigrants or you immigrated here and you have become a citizen, Donald Trump can never take that away from you. And I also want to give a shout out to one of our texters online. Dave from New Berlin asked me this question also during the break. Hey, didn't SCOTUS just rule the Supreme Court of the United States just rule that the president doesn't have to follow the law? So does the Constitution even matter anymore? Like, would it constrain him, you know, trying to strip citizenship away from people who have immigrated here and become citizens, or people whose parents were immigrants and were born here and are citizens? So while the Supreme Court declared effectively that presidents are kings and cannot be criminally prosecuted for any official acts, or, and I'm getting into some of the technical stuff here, like the outer bounds of official acts that are executed while they are in office, that ruling does not mean that the president can wipe away the Constitution, or that the president can take away individual constitutional rights and freedoms and violate people's constitutionally protected rights and freedoms and get away with it, at least in concept. So I just want to make that very clear right now. Carl from Eau Claire also has a question. Hey, would someone who is a native Mexican that is married to an American need to be worried about this? If that person has not been granted full citizenship and does not have legal status, yes, that is what the Alien Enemies Act is targeting. People who are natives of any country other than the United States. And from Donald Trump's conceiving of this, calling migration coming from Central and South America an invasion, that's what he's trying to say. This is a well-known misreading of the Alien Enemies Act, right? The MAGA movement says that, basically makes this argument that this act can be used in broad response to everything from illegal narcotics trafficking across borders, which Donald Trump name-checked yesterday in his inaugural, up to and including people that are simply here unlawfully. They don't have legal status, but have committed no crime. So they view it as this like turbocharged deportation authority. But I'm here to tell you that that reading goes against centuries of legislative, presidential, and judicial practice as it relates to the Alien Enemies Act, which make it very clear that this is a wartime authority, and that, again, invoking it in peacetime, meaning not a declared war with Mexico or Venezuela or Guatemala or any of these countries, would be an incredibly staggering abuse. Now, why is it an abuse? What's constitutionally complex or conflictual about trying to use it in that way? Even if you believe that there is a, quote, invasion of some kind coming across our southern border. By the way, illegal border crossings at the lowest level over the past year, lower than they were at the lowest level during the Trump administration, just by the way. The Fifth Amendment of our Constitution protects not only U.S. citizens, but anyone here against discrimination and rights violations perpetrated by the federal government based on suspect classifications like race and ancestry, right? So it's a Fifth Amendment violation. And that's because the Alien Enemies Act discriminates against immigrants based on their country of citizenship. And more broadly, their ancestry. Again, that's why the use of native in the Alien Enemies Act is important. The Alien Enemies Act also violates our right to be free from indefinite civil detention, which was a right recognized, a constitutional right recognized by the Supreme Court in 2001 in a case called Zedvitas versus Davis, if you're keeping track. Zedvitas versus Davis. I'll always bring the wonk for you. But fundamentally, here's the point, right? And bringing it full circle here. It is not okay when, even when we feel afraid, even when we feel our security is threatened, to cease the American value of judging each individual based on their actions, especially when it comes to taking away your right to liberty, right? Like, we don't approach these issues and say, well, this race of people or this group of people, because they happen to be from this place, I can lock them up for as long as I want. That is about as anti-American as you can possibly get. So that is the problem here. Now, I want to all let you all know this. I'm going to bring us around to some hopefulness today. I don't want to leave us in a place of despair. So please stick with me. I'm going to get to the hopeful read, the hopeful, the light. You know, it is always darkest before the light. So without resorting to cliche, I promise you, before the end of the show today, I'm going to get us to some hopefulness. But here is the bridge. Here is the through line between Donald Trump name-checking the Alien Enemies Act in his inaugural and the January 6th pardons. And I want each and every one of you that are listening right now to look deep into your heart and answer this question. If your skin were a color that is not white, if you were to speak with a slight accent, would you feel safe in the middle of all of those folks that were storming the Capitol on January 6th? Would you fear, even if you are a citizen, if you are a citizen that happens to have non-white skin, who happens to speak with an accent, would you be afraid that those people who beat police officers, who have now been pardoned by Donald Trump, might consider themselves the vengeful arm of MAGA and Donald Trump, that you might be afraid that they might believe themselves deputized by Donald Trump to violate whatever law they choose and cause you harm because they have now decided they can protect the United States better than law enforcement. And we know that this has been happening at the southern border. Look into your hearts that because of someone's race, or the language that was their first language, that we have now given comfort to those who will violate our laws when they don't like them or when they think someone is a quote-unquote threat to our country, without due process, without the arm of our legal system operating, that they have now been deputized to become judge, jury, and yes, if needs be, executioner. Is that not the message that Donald Trump has now sent to every single MAGA supporter, especially those who have already said that they are willing to break the law and commit heinous acts of violence against not a black or brown person with an accent, but a law enforcement officer with a badge? Because I can tell you sitting here today, that seems to be the message that Donald Trump wishes to convey, at least one of them. In addition, it seems to me that Donald Trump is leaning into the idea that there are two systems of justice or two legal systems in this world. And I've always defined them not by Republican or Democratic, but by who has power, access, money, and influence. That there's one system of justice for people that have power, access, money, and influence. And another system of laws for folks that don't have money, access, power, and influence. And isn't Donald Trump also saying with the January 6th pardons that if you are willing to do for me, I will give you that influence and access. I will make sure that you do not get exposed to that other system of accountability and justice, that you will be, like me, above the law. Folks, what do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. John, you're up first. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir? John, are you there?
John, you're on the line.
All right, we'll give John another crack in just a moment. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're on the air. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Yeah, you're precisely right. And I texted you that I think the reason my name, I'm half German, I think the reason our name is pronounced Kiechler rather than Kuechler, from my, you know, they changed the U to a, from a U now to a U in the immigration when my great-grandfather came over, is precisely the anti-immigrant attitude that was prevalent when he came over. I mean, there's a point in time where the Germans were considered undesirable or the Italians were considered undesirable. Now, plus the fact my great-grandfather was Catholic, that was another strike against him back in the day, and it's just ridiculous. I can envision churches declaring sanctuary for immigrants and armed forces, you know, breaking down church doors and hauling the immigrants away. I mean, it is just, it's terrifying that, and with these pardons that Donald Trump gave to these people who were not gently beckoned into the Capitol by the police on January 6th, they stormed the Capitol, broke down doors, violated the law, violated the Constitution, and Donald Trump pardoning those people is just an affront to American jurisprudence and to democracy itself. I mean, he is.
I agree, Mark. Want to get some additional callers in here. I've got a dissenting voice on the text line, 414, texting in on WAUK, says this. How many police officers were hurt during the BLM riots? A lot more than January 6th, a lot more. Whomever you are, texter, I challenge you, tell me which person who committed a crime during the BLM movement and was engaging in criminal activity or attacking a police officer. Tell me which person, person was indicted by a jury, tried before a jury, convicted by that jury, sentenced by a judge, and has been pardoned. That's what I'd like to know. Because make no mistake, I'll be very clear here. It's not okay to physically attack and hurt police officers who are trying to do their jobs. It's not okay. But I challenge you, texter from the 414 on WAUK's text line, Tell me which BLM protester who committed a crime, was convicted of that crime by a jury, sentenced and was serving a sentence of, say, 22 years like Enrique Tarrio, has been pardoned. That's my question to you. And if you can't come up with a name, I suggest you stuff that commentary back where it came from. We're going to continue this difficult and yet important conversation. I will be friendly, but I may just.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation. We may not always agree, but I promise to always be respectful and friendly and try to stay on point. If you would like to join this conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're talking about the J6 pardons. And as Donald Trump basically said to these extraordinarily violent, many of them extraordinarily violent people who did physically attack police officers, were convicted by juries of their peers, or who pled guilty to such violence. As he basically said to people, hey, you want to engage in race-based hate crimes because you think somebody might be here illegally? Don't worry, I got your back. Is this not a doubling down on the two-tiered system of justice? Justice for those who have access and money and power and influence, and then the system for all the rest of us. I'm worried about it. Are you? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just want to check in with, let's see here, Joshua texting in from Wausau. Also, affirming that, hey, his great uncle told me you don't get to take German in high school, or you shouldn't take German in high school because they were forbidden to learn it or to even speak it because of things like the Alien Enemies Act, which was used to target Germans at different points in our history. Now, Germans were never rounded up in the United States and placed into internment camps like we did with the Japanese following World War II or during World War II. But come on. You know, come on. Let's be honest about what's going on here. Let's try one more time. Hey, is this Jack from Merrimack? Jack, are you there? John?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
There you go.
I got two things to say here. First, in my opinion, you've called it correctly. Trump has now, through his pardons, potentially formed what I'd only be calling authoritarian-style bully troops and possibly even death squads, though I don't want to be that alarmist. But this blanket pardon of over 1,000 domestic terrorists, and I'd argue traitors, it seems that might just be possible. And secondly, about the proclamation to halt and reverse constitutional birthright citizenship, enforcement of that would clearly be illegal. But while Trump has royal immunity, it seems to me that his minions might not, and maybe they would not really act on it. Of course, under the Nazis, a lot of illegal acts were committed, and the courts and even the legislatures didn't seem to do anything, if I recall correctly. Even those involved in the death camps, as I recall, weren't prosecuted in Germany. It took international involvement to do that. So this could be a real serious issue here. Anyway,
yes,
that's the end of my rant for today.
Thanks so much, Jack. Appreciate you calling in. You can join us just like Jack did, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The texter from the 414 that said, hey, many police officers were hurt during the BLM riots, a lot more than January 6th, a lot more. First of all, I don't know of any police officer that died following an altercation during a BLM riot first. And then the texter followed up with this. They didn't go after BLM protests like January 6th people. Not a lot of phone tracking. Not any. That is actually not true. And I can tell you that because I was aware of some law enforcement activity in my prior job role. So I'll just leave it there. I just know that that's not true. The second thing I'll say is that, and I've made this point before, and I know this will be hard for you to hear, Donald Trump did not win the election in 2020. Donald Trump did not win the election in 2020. So all of that violence and that rioting on January 6th, that was all a bunch of bull. It is objectively clear, you can just look at body cam footage, that there is a real conversation that has to be had about the policing of Black and brown communities and the social contract that exists, that must exist between law enforcement and the communities that they police. We can hold those ideas in our head at the same time and yet absolutely condemn people that engage in violence against police officers or damage buildings or engage in unlawful activity that frankly put a bad name on all of the people that were out there peacefully protesting. Tom from Madison, you're up, sir. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I'm really weary of the idea that the Antifa BLM, so to speak, riots were the same as January 6th. I mean, even if you just examine the motivation, when it comes to right. The George Floyd protests, they were protests against the murder of unarmed Black American citizens. And did some of them get out of order? Of course they did, and those people were punished. But the January 6th was, as you were saying, absolutely manufactured by Donald Trump. And now we're sending a signal to all of those people that, hey, let's just start a new brown shirts and you can get away with murder, literally. I hope the Democrats step up and get way more aggressive in their language and basically just in their public appearances. They need to be seen as people who are keeping the peace, people that have some kind of common sense going on. And I hope that happens.
Thanks so much, Tom. Folks, you can join us after the top of the hour. We got news, weather, and sports coming up right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will continue this discussion. I just want to leave you with this. This is a quote from former D.C. police Fanon following Donald Trump's pardons. I have been betrayed by my country. I have been betrayed by those that supported Donald Trump. Whether you voted for him because he promised these pardons or for some other reason, you knew that this was coming, and here we are. This great conversation continues after the top of the hour. I'm Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer, lady economist, and political...
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going bumba da bumba da bumba da bumba da bumba?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump has signed a wave of executive orders since taking office, several already facing legal challenges. Nearly two dozen states filing multiple lawsuits over his directive limiting birthright citizenship.
The first line of the 14th Amendment says somebody born in the United States is a U.S. citizen, and for that reason, states are now suing, arguing President Trump's executive order is clearly unconstitutional and cannot be enforced. California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
I have one message for President Trump. I'll see you in court.
He and other attorneys general are asking a court for an immediate injunction to prevent the executive order from going into effect. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Gaza ceasefire deal holding for a third day and on track for Hamas to release four more Israeli female hostages this coming Saturday. A rare winter storm leaving many areas in the south covered in snow and ice, and dangerous cold keeping its grip on much of the country. This is ABC News.